I'm Beth Massey, and I'm here with Santiago Fernandez, a developer intern on the .NET team. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. What school are you from, and how did you get to Microsoft?
Well, I'm from Mexico.
Okay.
I'm from Puebla. Actually, it is like 1 hour away from Mexico City.
Okay.
And I'm studying in Tech de Monterrey in Campus Puebla.
Okay.
And I got to Microsoft interviewing there because Microsoft goes every year, once a year, recruiting to Mexico.
Okay.
And that's one of the schools they go to.
Cool.
So I was in third semester, it is like 1 year and a half ago.
Okay.
Almost 2 years
okay.
or so. And a teacher told me, like, go interview for Microsoft just for you to get to know the process and you can prepare for next semester when you are more like halfway in the career, so you can sort of prepare for the next year interview. So I got there and the recruiter told me there's an Explorer program for third semester students, which you go through the PM, dev, and test roles.
Cool.
So you can apply to that. So I applied to that, made it through the first round, and then came here to Redmond.
Cool.
To the second round interview. So I made it through all the interviews and I got an offer. And last summer I was an Explorer intern in DevDev as well.
Okay.
And I was in the JavaScript language service team.
Okay. So now you landed on the .NET team, huh?
Yes.
Cool.
So yeah, after the Explorer intern, I chose to be a developer after getting to know all the three roles.
Okay.
And I had to do another loop interview.
I see.
For developer.
I gotcha. So you did try out PM and test
yes.
too. I gotcha.
Yes.
All right. So developers, where is that? Got it. So how did you get into computers? I mean, what started the interest in computers? Computer science major?
Yes.
Is that what you, yeah.
Computer science major and engineering. So how I got there? It's a pretty complicated story. Because since I was a kid, I really liked technology, and I was like, you know, the technician in my house.
Okay.
Fix all the
IT guy.
All the problems with TV and with DVD, and I liked a lot of, you know, PlayStation and
video
Xbox.
Games.
Yeah, video games and all that kind of stuff. But when I got into college, I decided to study business engineering.
Okay.
So I stood there for one semester, and after that, I met a guy, a friend of mine, that his brother was the first guy from my school to come into Microsoft.
Oh.
So he told me the experience, his brother experienced, what he studied, what he did.
Cool.
So I really liked all technology stuff, like iPads and stuff like that. You know, so I was a lot into that. I did some websites in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're dabbling in programming.
Yeah, I knew a little bit of that.
Okay.
But that was just HTML programming, which is nothing, right? And so after this friend of mine told me his brother's story, I told him what major he studied. So I went with my major's manager and talked to him that I was interested in that major because I wanted to come here to Microsoft and work. So
cool.
I wanted to do the same thing his brother did, right?
Yeah.
So I talked to the major's manager, and I really liked the programming class, and
okay.
So I decided to switch majors.
Wow, cool.
Yeah.
Wow, so Microsoft made an impression on you even back then in some ways, because you had a friend who had experience there and you wanted to come here too.
Yes.
That's pretty inspiring, actually.
Yes, because I saw Microsoft. It's a reachable company for us to work in,
mm-hmm.
so that became like my dream, you know, work in
That's
Microsoft.
Cool. That's actually really cool.
Yes.
That's awesome. So, what have you been working on while you're here?
Well, when I'm here, I've been working on .NET Native.
Okay.
I've been working on an optimizer for MSIL.
Okay. So, .NET Native for everybody it's in preview right now.
Right now.
But it's... The way I understand it is it's the benefit of writing in C#, having the productivity of writing in C#, but you get the benefits of like C++ when it comes to speed because you're optimized to run natively for each of the devices.
That's right.
Okay. So you're working on this, got to be a big project, of course.
Yes.
But it's got to be a really interesting tool chain as well. So how does it kind of work at the high level? How does it work? When I hit compile on my C# code, what's what's the kind of process that?
Well, the process is it first goes through the compiler, right? And
okay.
it checks all syntax. And
so
the,
Roslyn
and those,
is still
yeah,
used in that side.
Yeah,
okay.
it does all the parsing and stuff.
Okay.
And then afterwards, the what Roslyn spits gets mm-hmm. into my team.
Okay.
So my team is the CLR, right?
Right.
The Common
okay.
Language Runtime, which is the virtual machine for those who don't know.
Right.
And then my team is the JIT, the just-in-time compile.
Okay.
So after all type system metadata interrupt and all that, that's all the types and all the value symbol tables and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever it gets compiled, it goes to the JIT.
Right, okay.
So that the JIT compiles the method that the CLR wants to use.
Right.
And the JIT will optimize that method and will do a lot of passes so that the method only use what it needs to use.
Right. Very,
and
very
yeah, and the execution is faster, right?
Right, okay.
So what I'm doing is I'm using an open source toolchain called LVM.
Okay.
That toolchain helps you write front ends and back ends for compilers.
Okay.
So you can use the intermediate representation they have for optimization phases and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And it even has its own JIT.
Oh,
but we're not using the JIT, right? But
okay.
you can even go to native with that tool.
I see.
So what I'm doing right now is we're trying to use the optimization tools that LVM has
mm-hmm.
that we don't have on the JIT.
Okay.
So that we can use the tools with just importing MSIL to LVM, optimizing and going back to MSIL.
Okay.
With open source, instead of writing all the optimization passes, which has a lot of costs.
Okay, gotcha.
In doing, right?
So you're basically, taking advantage of an open source project to get somewhere faster.
That's right.
Right.
So at the beginning, my project was going to be writing the MSIL to LVM importer.
Okay.
But we found in the web an open source
okay.
project that already did that. It,
okay.
it is in construction still.
Okay.
So we contacted the guy and we are trying to contribute back.
Great.
We already
okay.
have the permissions for that, but
okay,
we're sort of planning how can I contribute back in that part.
Great.
Right. And right now I'm working on the back end feature of the project, which is optimization of the LVM code, the
okay.
IR representation, and then I'm translating back to MSI.
Ah, gotcha. Okay, cool. So is that what we've got here
yes.
on the screen? You're going to walk me through a little bit of this? By the way, this is fairly heavy duty for my brain right now. So
it was for my brain as well at the beginning.
Cool. So let's see if you can teach Beth Massey some of this stuff. So what are we looking at here?
So here I have three projects.
Okay.
The one at the right is a C# project. It's the one that I'm gonna use to demo you how my tool works.
Okay.
Then the one in the middle, the Sharplang one, is the open source project we found,
okay.
which is the one that translates from MSIL to LVM.
Okay.
And then the test transform one is just the prototype of my project.
Okay.
So. This will take the optimized code, will parse it, and then translate it back to MSIL.
Okay.
But this is only a prototype, and I don't have all the features in it yet. I'm
still working on it, right?
On it.
Okay, cool.
So I can just translate simple C# projects, right?
Okay.
So first, I can show you a little bit of the optimization.
Sure.
So I'm going to get rid of this for loop. And just leave it like that, right? So A should be 18 at the end.
Okay.
So I build this, I get the MSIL. I go to Sharplang, and it already has all the configuration to read that MSIL file.
Okay.
And
now what is this step? This step is doing the optimization on that IL?
Yes,
okay.
But I'm gonna get rid of the optimization so you can see
the difference
in the transformation. So after I run that, I get a bitcode and an LVM bitcode. I have to disassembly. I get this file.
Okay.
This is all helper functions. We're going to focus on the function, on the C-sharp
function. The multiply,
function.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
So this is the multiply function, right?
Right.
So it will do a lot of operations just for an add, that the final result should be 18.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to return that 18.
Right.
So we can combine all those instructions in just doing one instruction that should be return 18, right?
Sure, okay, that makes sense.
So if we go to this project and run all and run all the optimization, if we run all the optimization here, we should get that result. So there's my method. So he just has returned
so
18, right?
That's exactly what we wanted. That's as optimized as it can get.
Yes.
Okay.
This is really simple optimization.
Yeah.
The JIT already has that kind of optimization.
I was thinking. Okay.
Right? But I can show you an example of the optimization they don't have. So
yeah, so what in it, like, so what are we getting? What does this project provide exactly, like the value, like the open source project? So it's just, you're calling a bunch of methods that I have no idea what you're doing there. You're optimizing, but
yes,
you're using their framework to
optimize.
This. So, and we, because we didn't want to
write
all of it.
All of it, right? Because right now with Project Native, we don't have time for writing all that optimization,
okay,
right? So they gave me this project so I can investigate the costs of using this tool.
Gotcha.
And how can this tool help us instead of writing new optimizations.
Okay.
Because this tool has like 80 optimization passes.
Okay.
So we can
find. So does that make the build a little bit slower or at all, or is just because it's doing a little bit more, or?
Well, the build can be slower, but once once the code is generated, the execution will be faster. It will be native execution,
so
right?
It's at develop time when you take the hit. That's
so cool. We can see the difference on what's the MSIL right now, the original MSIL and the multiply file. So this is it.
Right. Okay.
Right. And then we can see what my project generates after all the optimization. So after all the optimization, the multiply method goes from this, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 operations. It just goes to 2 operations.
Okay.
Which is loading 18 and returning.
Because it could have, it figured out that you were just adding two numbers together. So
yes, and you got
it's a simple example, but
yes,
okay,
it's a simple example of what I'm doing, right? We can go a little more complicated stuff, so we can add a loop to it.
Yeah, add that loop back.
So if I add a loop here, I'm gonna do B++, so we can see what my pass does.
Okay.
As we can see here, the loop does nothing to the returning value, right?
Right.
Because the B was already used here, and the B is not affecting A,
mm-hmm.
and what we're returning is A, not B, right?
So it's really useless code there.
Yes. But that happens a lot in real life applications,
yes, absolutely.
Right? So we have to handle all bad cases. So we will go to optimization. And then get the bit code. And we can see that the loop is not there, right?
Yeah.
It got rid of the loop because the loop is not being used, and we just get the return 18,
cool.
Right? As if we had the no optimization, this is the loop optimization. can see that the loop is right there, right?
Back, okay.
So here is the loop statement.
Mm-hmm.
The loop statement, and here is doing the comparing of the loop.
Okay.
That I is less than 5, and then it's doing the branching depending if it has to go back to loop or if it has to go back to the return statement, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that loop is doing nothing,
so we
want to get rid of that, right? So that's basically what my project is sort of doing.
Got it. So you're working on optimization of it.
The optimization is just adding optimization passes that LVM has.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm basically working on is on this test transform thing, which is transforming all the LVM to MSIL.
Okay.
So if we run this, we get some sort of MSIL. We get some MSIL instructions, right?
Gotcha. Cool. So you having fun?
Yes, a lot of fun.
You learning a lot?
Yes.
This is kind of over my head, but I understand as an end user developer, as a .NET developer myself, looking at like all the work that we're doing, especially with our compiler technologies
in
general, our jitters. You know, RioJIT is another project that's also very interesting. So it's not like we're getting rid of JIT. It's just that we're optimizing on both ends, right?
Yes.
Okay, so this really just benefits me because I can just be writing in C#, but hit build and I get a native image.
Yes,
right. And for a end user developer, like our end users, we're in dev div, so our users are developers, they don't really have to worry about this. But for all the geeks out there, I mean, this is actually pretty interesting stuff. And, I was interested in your take of, so when you worked on JavaScript before,
yes,
and now you're working on .NET, much different, I'm sure, right?
Yes.
So what is kind of your passion? Are you a little bit more into this compiler stuff, or?
Well, this is the first time I work in compiler
stuff.
Like, I haven't even taken my compiler course in school.
Right, so that's
I've learned a lot. This is completely new to me, so I really like this. So I really like it because it is really challenging day to day. You get a lot of challenges day to day, and you have to solve them.
Yeah.
And ask questions and research in the web and all that. But once you solve them, you get really satisfied,
yes,
right? And last summer in the JavaScript language team, which is all the intelligence of the editor,
mm-hmm,
for JavaScript,
mm-hmm,
I found it easier.
Okay.
Than this one, and less challenging.
I see. Yeah, you're really kind of on the metal here, right?
Yes.
I mean, you're really like at the low level of the .NET framework now.
If you ask me if I could return to this team, I could definitely do.
Cool. Cool. It's actually like, it's very, very, very important. I think as a .NET developer, I take a lot of this stuff for granted because this is the stuff that Microsoft does. This is like the really important piece of, the whole entire software development process for me that I completely take for granted. I'd never think about this, honestly. I mean, IL, yeah, but the optimization itself and how it spits that out, I just want it to work. Right?
Yes, you would never imagine that stuff is happening back there.
Exactly.
You just wanted to see it work, right?
Right, exactly.
And what happens in all these teams is sometimes we want to work in, for example, Word,
mm-hmm,
or Excel.
Right.
And something that people knows, right? Because I go back home and a lot of friends ask me, what you work on? And I cannot even explain what this was, right?
You can barely explain it to me, right? Yeah, okay.
And they want to hear you work on Word or on Office or Skype,
something
Xbox.
Something they can relate to.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they don't relate that all this work we're doing impacts more than Word and Office. Because without this, Office and Word couldn't be built, right? Because the whole company uses these tools we're building.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's another interesting part of DevDiv,
right?
You're
affecting millions and millions and millions of people. Even billions, because end users are affected by the software that our developers write. Right,
yes.
So our developers using these tools.
Yes.
So
right.
it's a big impact.
Yes.
You're making a big impact here.
Right.
So, and I'm glad you realize that. And take it back. Tell people. More students need to get involved in programming, in my opinion. so that they can get to the point like you have, where you have an opportunity to come and intern at Microsoft, or just, I think, in development in general, like programming in general, needs to, we need more
people. We need more people. Yeah, and every year we're getting less people into that.
So. Yeah, so I'm hoping this, like, story, like, this, but this whole story kind of inspires, you know, people out there, to students especially, to really consider, you know, computer science as a major. It's definitely, and you're going to find a job, for sure.
Oh, that's for sure. Everywhere. That's for sure.
Yeah.
The people that doesn't get a job when they graduate is just because they didn't want to get a job. Like, they didn't search for it. They just want to relax after the major.
Yeah, no relaxing. Yeah.
But, you know, I searched for a job, and I found it in 2 months.
I know. And I was a computer science major a long time ago, and I've never not had work, you know. It's always work to do, and it's always very, very challenging work to do. So.
And you can even innovate in this area. You don't need to get hired by a big company. You can just do something yourself, and you will be...
Well, look at the open source project that you're using here. Right. You know, you're contributing with other people in the community that are working on really high-tech stuff.
Yes.
So so even if you're not working for a company, you can contribute to a project out there.
Yes, and the open source toolchain I'm using, the LLVM open source toolchain, was developed by this guy that was in, I think it was University of Illinois.
Oh, okay, Illinois.
And he got hired by Apple.
Oh, okay.
Just because of building that open source. And he found a job just because of that. And now it's a really famous toolchain for compilers.
Cool.
So, yeah.
That's pretty amazing. So it betters the entire industry, which then betters the whole world.
Yes.
It's amazing. So, Santiago, I want to thank you for sharing your experience and sharing your project here.
You're more than welcome. Anytime.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.